Okay, good evening. I'd like to call the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Today is January 24th, 2024. It is 6 p.m. We are in the Davis Room 106 of the State Capitol, Juneau. Today we have present Speaker Tilton, Representative McKay, Representative McCabe, Representative Groh, Representative Gray, and myself, Chair Carpenter. Thank you all for joining us. For the members in the room here, please silence your cell phones. Staff assisting us today will be Lori Rowland with the House Records and Emily Mish with the LIO. My staff, Kendra Broussard, will serve as the committee aide. This evening, we have one order of business. We'll bring forward House Bill 190, the Alaska Sunset Commission, and this bill was previously heard in the last session. Near the end of the session. So we're going to reintroduce it to today, and then I'll set an amendment deadline, and we'll set a time for public comment. With that, I would like to invite my committee aide and Ms. Ardwin to come forward and put themselves on the record and then represent this bill.
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter. My name is Kendra Broussard, staff to Representative Carpenter.
For the record, Donna Ardwin, staff to Representative Carpenter.
Okay, and you all should have your slides. Someone might. Okay.
All right, I'll begin.
Please proceed.
Through the chair, I'll begin by reading the sponsor statement. So Alaska spends twice as much as other states on government. There is not enough time or information available to utilize the annual budget process to ensure efficient spending, effective service delivery, and continual process improvements in state agencies. The Executive Budget Act requires the governor and his agencies to use performance and financial data in its budgeting process and to provide such information to the legislature for its budget deliberations. Nonetheless, the Executive Budget Act is not being followed by the executive or the legislature as it should. Data provided by executive departments is insufficient for program evaluation, planning, and budgeting. In addition, for the past 10 years, the state auditor has produced performance review audits and state agencies. Again, these resources are not being utilized by state agencies or the legislature, and the statute has sunset. HB 190 aims to both provide usable data and impose recourse into the review process, adding an extensive third-party review and the real risk that an entity of government will be eliminated by law may be the external disruption necessary to lead to leaner government. HB 190, the Alaska Sunset Commission Act, will help ensure adherence to performance requirements and process improvements in the operation of our state government. The bill establishes the Alaska Sunset Commission under the Lieutenant Governor as an independent and objective group charged with reviewing each department by division in the state on a rotating schedule. The commission will be comprised of seven individuals from the private sector with financial, budget analysis, accounting, operation management, and other areas of expertise who will be appointed by the Governor, Speaker of the House, and President of the Senate. Commissioners will have staggered terms of 5 years, choose a chair, and will serve without compensation, but commissioners will be entitled to per diem and travel expenses authorized for boards and commissions. The commission may employ staff and hire consultants as it determines necessary to perform its duties. Duties of the commission will be to determine whether there is a public need for the continuation of the entity and to make a recommendation to the legislature to continue, discontinue, restructure, or transfer the duties and programs of the entity to another entity. The commission will review the entities of one department each year. That will include adherence to financial and performance requirements under the Executive Budget Act, utilization of process improvement, efficiency of operations, overlap with other entities, and the extent to which the entity is making it difficult to do business in Alaska. The commission will submit a report to the governor and legislature within the first days of the legislative session. That includes a recommendation to continue, discontinue, restructure, or transfer duties to another entity. Along with the submission of the report to the legislature, the commission will provide any recommended statutory changes necessary to accomplish the recommendations in the report to the rules committees with requests to introduce the legislation. If the legislature does not act on the commission's report, the entity subject of the report will be sunset at the conclusion of the following fiscal year. Then I can go through the chair, I can go through the sectional analysis.
Let's do the sectional analysis, and then after that we'll go through some of the slides.
So through the chair, section 1 through 5 amends the State Personnel Act to include the Alaska Sunset Commission. Section 1 allows persons who hinder the work of the Alaska Sunset Commission to be fined like those who may hinder the work of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Section 2, a person who has been convicted under Section 1 of this Act cannot be appointed to state services unless a waiver is granted by the Commissioner of Administration. Section 3, makes public information that a state employee has been dismissed or disciplined for a violation of interference or failure to cooperate with the Alaska Sunset Commission. Section 4 allows a state employee to be disciplined or dismissed for failure to give cooperation to the Alaska Sunset Commission. Section 5 makes interference or failure to cooperate with the Alaska Sunset Commission a matter of public concern. Section 6 amends the Public Record Disclosure Act to add the Alaska Sunset Commission to the definition of public agency. In Section 7, it adds a new section of law to establish the Alaska Sunset Commission under the Lieutenant Governor. The commission consists of 7 public members appointed by the Governor, Speaker, and Senate President for staggered 5-year terms. It establishes the qualifications of appointed members, selection of a chair, and allows the commission to employ staff and hire consultants. Commissioners will receive per diem and travel expenses. Section 7 provides the power and duties of the commission, including reviewing the activities of each state entity subject to commission, review state entities, and make recommendations to the legislature. Prior to the commission's review of an entity, each state entity shall provide to the legislature a report of the entity's evaluation of its adherence to the criteria for the commission's review under this act. Provides for a schedule of entities to be reviewed. The entities are each of the entities of a one state agency for the University of Alaska each year for 2024 through 2035. Section 7 provides the criteria for review, including the adherence to performance requirements set under the Executive Budget Act, alternative methods for delivery of services, organizational processes, efficiency with which the entity operates, reorganization potential, and the extent to which statutory changes are necessary for the entity to meet the desired improvements. Section 7 requires the Commission to hold public hearings and accept public testimony. It requires a report by the Commission following each review of a state entity with a recommendation to the legislature to continue, discontinue, restructure, or transfer the duties and programs of the entity, and a recommendation on a winding down period for the entity to conclude its business or provide for a restructuring plan. The Commission shall include in the report draft legislation to implement the recommendations of the Commission with a request to the Rules Committee to submit the legislation for introduction. Section 7 also provides that if the recommendations of the Commission are not implemented by law, the entity subject to review will be sunset on June 30th, of the fiscal year following the review. It also provides definitions. Section 8, repeal statute governing the disposition of entities, statutes related to sunsetting performance reviews. Section 9, repeals performance review, state law 2013 that is set to sunset July 1st, 2023. Section 10 makes Section 9 of this act immediately effective.
Any questions before we proceed to the slide presentation of the members? Seeing none, please proceed.
The Chair, HB 190, Alaska Sunset Commission. On slide two, the sunset shines a light on state agencies and programs to see if they are still relevant in a changing world. If the answer is yes, the sunset recommends improvements to make them more effective and efficient. If the answer is no, the sunset recommends abolishing the agency or transferring its functions to another agency with related functions. Slide three, the commission would be administratively housed under the Lieutenant Governor. Commissioners will be appointed by the Governor, Speaker, and Senate President. The commission shall be proficient in financial management, business operations, budgeting economics, process improvement of government efficiency. The commission may hire staff and consultants with similar proficiencies to conduct a review of each entity of a department. HB 190 would require the commission to hold public hearings. The commission drafts legislation that must be acted upon or the entity will sunset. Slide 4. Sunset staff evaluation. Each year, the commission will review one state department and each of its entities, divisions, and corporations. Sunset staff will perform extensive research and analysis to evaluate the need for, performance of, and improvements to the entity under review. Sunset Commission staff reviews the agency's self-evaluation report, receives input from interested parties, evaluates entity and identifies problems, develops recommendations, and publishes staff reports. The Sunset Commission deliberation. The Sunset Commission conducts a public hearing to take testimony on the staff report and the agency overall. The Sunset Commission conducts a second meeting to vote on which changes to recommend to the legislature. Slide 5. The public hearings. Sunset staff presents its reports and recommendations. The agency presents its response. The Sunset Commission will hear public testimony and receive written comments. The Sunset Commission will meet again to consider and vote on recommendations. Public input is published on the website. Then the Sunset Bill will go through the normal legislative process. Legislative action. The Sunset Bill on an entity is drafted and submitted through the Rules Committee. The legislature will consider the Sunset Commission's recommendations and make its final decisions. The Senate and House conduct committee hearings and debate amend the bill. The bill passes or fails adoption. If the legislature fails to adopt or act on the bill, the entity sunsets at the end of the following fiscal year. So HB 190 is modeled after the Texas Sunset Commission. So the sunset process is a key legislative oversight tool that significantly streamlined and improved Texas government since it was created by the Texas legislature in 1977. Sunset promotes a culture of continuous improvement in state government by providing objective, nonpartisan public forum for evaluating the need for state agencies and their effectiveness, efficiency, and responsiveness to the public.
The Republic would have been key for Texas.
The Sunset Commission reviewed 21 entities for the 88th legislative session in Texas, resulting in 235 recommendations to streamline state government while enhancing services to our citizens. Generally, the recommendations eliminate unnecessary regulations and improve accountability, align agencies' procedures with best practices, and strengthens effective delivery of service to Texans. The Texas Sunset process has led to major policy changes in almost every area of state government. Sunset recommendations also have eliminated duplication among agency and programs, increased public participation, helped with government accountability, and improved the quality and efficiency of government services. So since the sunset began in 1977, it has streamlined Texas government, saved taxpayer money, and provided effective oversight. You can see underneath those, you can see the numbers. So on slide 10, you can see a list of what the Alaska departments and then the number of entities they have off of them. So in total, there are 16 departments, and then with the total amount of entities underneath them is 180. Slide 11 has got a couple of links. Is there any questions?
Questions? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, I guess to start off with, in the sponsor statement, you talk about the Executive Budget Act and what it requires and how it's not being enforced. Can you just tell me a little bit about the Executive Budget Act and how it's different than this bill?
Sure, great question. The Executive Budget Act, Title 37, requires, among other things, for the legislature to set missions for agencies and key performance indicators, performance measures, and how those should be measuring everything that the state agencies are doing. So one of the criteria for the Sunset Commission is to ensure that the agencies are adhering to the standards set by the legislature. Through the chair.
Follow up.
Representative Gray.
So in the sponsor statement, it says that that the Budget Act is not being followed by the executive or the legislature. And so I'm curious, like, where the most critical failure is happening. Is it the legislature is not following up, or?
Through the chair, Representative Gray. Technically, it's the legislature that's not actually following what is required. The legislature is required to set the missions for the agencies and the performance measures. The executive branch has kept a schedule of missions and performance indicators, but they're not being used in the budgeting process, and they're not being used in the management process of those agencies.
Follow up. Yes. So I'm curious. It's really just about how we're going to create this new bill because we're not following this law. I'm curious about how this law should be followed by the legislature and why we're not doing it. I'm new. I'm learning about this law today. So what should I be doing as a legislator to follow the law to do the Executive Budget Act, I guess?
Representative Gray, through the chair. I'm sorry.
Yep, go ahead.
I'll start by saying there are other criteria for review under the Sunset Commission. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There are many others. The criteria include whether there's an alternative delivery method for the services and performance requirements, the extent to which the entity is organized in a manner for business process improvement, efficiency within the way that the entities operate, if there's any overlap of services with other entities, and there's many others in here. So the adherence to the Executive Budget Act is one of the criteria that the Sunset Commission is going to be reviewing, and we believe that if you're going to ask a Sunset Commission to review whether or not an entity is effective, organized properly, or doing what the legislature has told it to do, that it should also adhere to those missions set up by the Executive Budget Act.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
Briefly? So part of your question is, what should we be doing mm-hmm. in regards to the Executive Budget Act?
Mm-hmm.
So if we take a look at each one of our calendars and what happens during a session, we have constituents and other meetings that occur throughout the day. We have floor sessions. We have committee meetings to review bills that are placed before us. There are presentations that happen throughout the day. The process of evaluating management of all of our departments, and we can go back to that list of all of the departments and all the entities, 180 different entities, to do a deep dive for the legislature to get down in and understand, you know, entity number 79, how is it functioning right now? Is it meeting its mission goals? And really do a deep dive is beyond the scope of what we can do as legislators, right? But the Executive Budget Act says we're supposed to provide that guidance, mission, goals, and performance measures to the executive branch, to all 180 entities through the departments to ensure that the government is being managed appropriately. That's our responsibility. So we're not going to get to it as business as normal within our legislative session, right? So the intent here is to create a commission that complements both the executive branch and the legislature in providing public input as to how the, you know, the government of the people for the people is supposed to be run. And that is the intent of the entity, or to the Sunset Commission, is to complement our responsibilities.
Thank you. To the chair. So it sounds like we had this act and it was just really, it had unrealistic expectations of how the legislature could possibly do what the act would ask it to do for 180 entities.
A question to me, Representative Gray. I'm not sure that I can say that it's unrealistic at the time that it was written. It wasn't there. It wasn't part of the legislature then. But I know that it, just in our everyday business, actually getting through and reviewing the missions and measures for each one of these departments is probably outside the scope of my available time, unless I pare down what it is that I'm trying to do in the, or have to respond to within the legislative session. That's how I would.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
So, and again, just curious, 180 entities to really go in and do a deep dive and look at all of them. I noticed that folks would get a per diem for travel, but I think this could be a big job for five people to do. And I'm curious about the question not to compensate them for doing deep dives into 180 entities.
That's a really good question, Representative Berry. The reason that the commission is empowered with a staff, and it comes with a fiscal note that's a little over $1 million, is because the commissioners, the public entity, public commissioners that are appointed, would give guidance to and supervise trained staff that are hired to do the majority of that work on a daily basis. And then the commissioners would meet periodically to review and publish recommendations to the legislature and to the executive branch.
Thanks. I have two more areas of questions, but I'll hold back.
Okay. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And not so much a question, but just some information just from the past. I believe it was 2012, maybe 2013, was the last time that I recall that a entity had a actual kind of a deep dive. And the reason I know is because I was the staff that did that. We took the health and social services budget through the entire interim. We broke down every division within that department, and we took each division and we looked at it. We asked what its missions and measures were. We wanted to know what the public thought they did good, what they thought they did good, get input in that. Not as extensive as what's here in your in the Sunset Commission, but I will tell you that that was a full interim for the whole finance committee to do that kind of a dive into. So when you're talking about the time that it would take for a representative of the legislative body to do that, just giving you some idea of what that did, what that took. We did spend quite some time working on that. It was a very, very good effort, in my opinion. Maybe some other people weren't so happy about it, but it did help to understand what each division within the Department of Health and Social Services, what their mission, what their measure was, what they did, so that you could remove maybe prejudices from your surroundings of what you know and actually know what was happening within that department. So it was a very interesting effort, and I just thought I'd throw that out there so that you would get an idea of the time that it took to do that.
And I would just like to add as well that we're looking at this from a legislative perspective, but if you look at it from the bureaucratic's perspective or the bureaucracy's perspective, they're busy doing day-to-day functions. And to add on to that, a review of how they're doing business becomes a big burden. Mm. And so if that's not likely to happen, but a review periodically of whether we're headed in the right direction, you got to ask for help from somebody.
Yeah, follow up on that, Representative Carpenter. I said some people were happy and some weren't. That might be, yes, some of the issue. You are very correct. Asking the administration to come in and do this kind of review, especially during session where we're already having them do subcommittee work and those kinds of things, was difficult. And it was even difficult during the interim because they have their, carrying on with the business of the department. So
thank you. Other questions from members? Representative McCabe?
Nick, so this with 16 departments, this will take 16 years, essentially, to go through every department. Although DOT would probably, the 31 sort of sub-departments might take longer than that. But for $18 per $1, is that the assumption since Texas made that off of their commission? Is our assumption that we're going to do something similar? We'll save or make $18? It's not reflected in the fiscal note, obviously, but.
Is that a question to me?
Sure.
Okay, I'll take a stab at it. I didn't preface this, and I don't think the presentation's prefaced with this. What the past performance doesn't predict future returns. I don't know that we could achieve the same rate of improvement as Texas did. I think it's possible, but I don't know how to quantify that, and I haven't attempted to. I would also like to respond to the length of time. Before us, we see the slides breaking down the departments and the numbers of entities within the departments, but I don't know, based on just this slide, the size of those entities. So we may be able to see a quicker process through this based on the size of those entities. So just because there's, you know, the University of Alaska has got three entities, for example, it's a small one, but I don't, that's a pretty large organization. That might take a while, whereas Department of, I don't know, picking another one off the spot here, but Environmental Conservation, they've got five, but they might be smaller, so it might take less time to get through that. Good question. Thank you. Other questions? Representative Groh?
I guess it's more about philosophy and perhaps it's best for you, Mr. Chairman. We agree that the legislature and the governor have the legal authority to do this now, their constitutional authority. I don't think there's any dispute about that. I see you nodding. Sorry, I was a lawyer for a long time, and I often had to make that statement to say.
Can you pull your mic closer? Sure. To you? I'm not sure if that's
so,
public.
Yeah, it's clear that, as we and undisputed, that the governor and legislature could do this now. And we've talked a little bit about, at this table, about why that hasn't occurred. I do note that this board would be unelected. Some, you know, the commissioners, maybe some room perhaps for politicians or future politicians. But I do note that the unelected nature of the commissioners makes it, I ask you whether how you describe the accountability and the transparency in terms of, as opposed to having the elected constitutional officers of the legislature and the governor do this work.
Thank you for that question, Representative Groh. I guess I'm not too concerned with the commissioners not being duly elected, because the recommendation that they make is going to the duly elected representatives. And in the same vein as staff or consultants that the legislature might hire to provide advice aren't duly elected, but the advice they provide is something that we would then choose to take action on or not. And the forcing function of the way that the bill is drafted forces the legislature to take seriously what those commissioners have said and act upon it in some form or fashion. So if the people that are appointed suggest that or recommend that there's a change that needs to be made, the legislature has to take that seriously. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead, Representative Groh.
I want to commend you again for bringing forward the recommendations of the Fiscal Policy Working Group, their report from 2021. And they had a number of recommendations, as you know. One of them was for new revenues, and obviously another one was for budget reductions over time. I'm interested in efficiencies, and if we can find the right reductions to make, that's a good thing for our state in combination with a number of other steps to resolve our structural deficit. But I do want to point out some of the philosophical issues here in terms of this approach. And I frankly would also like to learn more about Texas's actual experience. I mean, I appreciate the presentation today, but I do think it's useful to know more about exactly how that work. They've obviously done it for a long time. 1977 was obviously a number of decades ago. But I appreciate you bringing forward this idea as well as a number of the ideas before the committee.
Thank you, Representative Grohl. On slide 11, there's a couple links here. One of them is the Texas Sunset Advisory Commission link for you and for the public to be able to do your due diligence and learn about what Texas has done. And we're not, the bill is not passing out of committee today. So we've got time to do some research and then come back and ask questions and discuss. Representative Gray?
Thank you. So my question, I think, will also be to the chair or anyone, but about the governor having the 13 EOs to eliminate some boards and commissions and consolidation and efficiencies. The first question is, does that context change anything about the bill at all? And the second part is, would, if this were in effect, would the governor still be able to do the exact same thing, or would there be less need for it?
Representative Gray, this is the chair, might be a good question for legal, but I do not believe that anything in this bill is addressing the governor's authority to restructure the government per constitutional and statutory authority that he has now. Think of it as an addition to his authority and the legislature's authority, because we can also restructure as we need to. This just provides a level of detail through a consistent study methodology that gives us better data and better information.
Thank you. I agree.
You said you had a couple more questions. Is that it? Have we exhausted it?
Well, my other question, I think I answered for myself by reading the materials more closely.
So. Okay.
I just wanted to add some information to clarify some of the good questions that you had to Representative McCabe's good point.
Give your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Donna Arguin for the record. To Representative McCabe's good point, in this bill there is a 1 year and an order for the entities to review. I certainly would expect you all would want to look at that and see if you wanted to put some flexibility or change the time frame. Another point of clarification, the entities that are being reviewed under the departments include not just the divisions, but also the corporations underneath them, boards and commissions. Some of those things, like the corporations, have not had the kind of review or oversight that some of the agency divisions have had.
Thank you, Ms. Hardwin. Representative McCabe.
So unlike my esteemed colleague to the left, I suspect that we would be the problem. So we would get a report that says you must shut down this entity, and one of us would say, maybe one of us that is popular, powerful, has a good rapport with a number of people would say, oh my God, that whole thing's in my district. Can't shut it down. So now we go down the same path that the, the BRICS Commission or the Base Realignment BRACS Commission?
BRACS.
We go down the same path that they went down, and it becomes a big political football. I just wonder if there's not a way inside this to make the language, I don't know, sort of take it away from us. You know, so it's not quite so political, and it's more economic driven.
Through the chair, if I may start, Representative McCabe, one of the other things important to point out here is while we've had failures in the past to follow through on any type of recommendations, there's a lot of teeth in this. If the legislature does, you have to take up the bill. The commission can submit any bill they would like through the Rules Committee. And if the legislature doesn't take up the bill or pass the bill, you can amend it. But that entity will automatically sunset at the end of the next year.
That's helpful. Thanks.
Representative Perry.
In the similar line of questioning, through the chair, if there was, let's say the commission found that we should eliminate something and the legislature took it up and we decided to eliminate it, I mean, it would just be like any other thing where the governor could just veto it and not eliminate it.
That's correct.
And then I guess the backwards way, this will always be reported to the legislature. It wouldn't be a situation where they would recommend elimination and the governor could decide to eliminate it. I mean, I guess I'm just saying this is, I think it's, I'm very much in the context of the fact that we have so many EOs right now to do this sort of work that I'm really fixated on that. But this would just be a different avenue for the legislature to eliminate boards and commissions or change boards and commissions.
Through the chair, Representative Gray, this is far more extensive. The governor's executive order reorganization abilities are simply to reorganize. They're not to remove any of the powers and duties of any entity or change the management structures. They're simply to say, we're not going to have this board or commission, the programs and anything on statute that are under those boards now would fall to somebody else. So the Sunset Advisory, the Sunset Commission could recommend those things, but this bill goes much further. It allows for changes in programs, changes in the way programs are delivered, change in the management of those programs. So it goes far beyond the ability to reorganize, as in the governor's executive orders.
I think for the interest of the committee, it might be helpful to see if there are any case studies to bring forward off of what Texas has done over the years. Maybe there's already a white paper that's been written or something. We'll see if we can't find something like that and bring it forward so that we have an example of how it has been put in place or how it's worked within that state.
Thank you.
Gray.
Yeah, through the chair, I am liking this bill.
Through the chair, to your point, the Sunset Commission, the Texas Commission, is very, very proud of the fact that one of the main things that it's implemented is more responsiveness to the public. And so that's not something that we do when we do audits, for example, of departments.
Thank you. Representative McCabe.
So, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, I'm wondering about, let's just say we were looking at the DOT and snow plowing. Our favorite topic right now, right? But part of the DOT and snowplowing issue involves the city of Anchorage and the DOT roads that are in the city of Anchorage. How would we involve them if we said, if that commission said, and maybe this is too far in the weeds, I don't know, but how, if we said roads aren't getting plowed, hey, here's an idea, let's give all the roads to the municipality of Anchorage, which, but how would that happen when sort of cross-agency, and maybe you know how Texas did it with those kinds of things, or cross-governmental.
Through the chair, so there's several avenues in the Sunset Commission's review. First, the entities being reviewed, so the Department of Transportation and all of its subdivisions, for example, have to submit a report to the Sunset Commission. So they are, first of all, the first reporters to say, here we have issues. Then as the commission has its work, it involves the public. So I would assume that on that issue, it's going to involve the folks from Anchorage to go through those. Second, public, then have public hearings, and then come up with the recommendations.
I would also like to add to that that the commission is not the subject matter experts on the commission are empowered to be able to bring in their own expertise to help them solve a problem. So it is not wholly required for the employees that are of the commission to be the only subject matter experts. So, for example, if you've got issues with municipality of Anchorage or any jurisdiction, there's an opportunity there, I think, for collaboration to help understand and provide recommendations. That currently isn't being done, or I can't say that because I know that the Department of Transportation works with the boroughs to manage the road maintenance. All I'm saying is the holistic review of whether we're being successful at that or not, from the public's perspective, the input doesn't exist, and this would give them an avenue to do that and force the legislature and the executive. Because remember, this isn't just a statutory change. They also can provide change to regulation, which wouldn't require action on the legislature's part. It would just require action on the executive branch's part. And I'm not sure whether that really answered the question or just muddied the waters. But
Mr. Chairman, something I left out.
Ms. Ardwin.
Something that I left out in the bill also give the staff or consultants of the commission the ability to attend any meeting of the department and have access to any information that the department has available, which is something that's much more difficult for you all to do on any daily basis.
Representative Gray?
Thanks. I just wanted to say for the record, I made a very flippant comment. I understand that Anchorage taking over all of the plowing would be a very complicated phenomenon with a lot of moving parts, a lot of money, and a lot of equipment. And I didn't mean to make that on the record. The second thing I'll say, yeah, it's a question. Should we repeal the Executive Budget Act if we pass this?
I love a debate. Is that question directed to me?
I'm just curious if we have an act that was intended to serve this purpose, but it's not serving the purpose and it's not actually happening. Why would we have an act on the books that we're not doing?
So that's an interesting question. I guess the way I would answer this is I also have another bill that helps rewrite the Executive Budget Act to maybe draw our attention and help us better utilize or follow the Executive Budget Act. In my opinion, the Sunset Commission is just a tool that helps both branches of the government achieve a leaner government that isn't necessarily tied to the Executive Budget Act. It is something that's similar, that's a second tool. Representative Grant.
Thank you. I will say that in the very limited amount of Googling that I've done, that there actually were some examples of the Texas Sunset Act that showed where they found, for example, an environmental agency wasn't actually enforcing regulations. And so it actually, rather than eliminated the agency, forced the agency to start doing its job. So, you know, sometimes it's not about making it leaner, it's actually making them do the work.
Mr. Gray, that's an outstanding point. If a people's organization, whether it's the legislature or whether it's a Sunset Commission, reviews what the department is doing and finds that there is inefficiency, that is one recommendation that can be made. But if the commission or the legislature reviews the department and finds, hey, you know what, you're not really doing something that should be on the books, and hey, that's going to cost us a little bit more money, then that also should be done, or we modify what it is on the books, right, or on the law. This is just giving the legislature and the executive branch an additional tool to do that work that is hard to do now during steady state operations of government and legislative duty. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand what the cost benefit could be in this kind of scenario if you're finding inefficiencies or maybe having a department be forced to do the work that they maybe had not completed or what have you. But that being said, just wondering if there's any idea of an estimate of what kind of a budget we would be looking at for the commission, because we're talking about having consultants that can come at quite a high price. And so I was just wondering if you had just kind of an estimated idea. You have, I think, some staffing in there and some consultants and just...
Can we go over the fiscal note?
Is it in the fiscal note? Great.
Would you take us through the fiscal note?
Perfect.
Sorry, you need a copy?
Ask the Lieutenant Governor's office.
Here it is. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We do have the Lieutenant Governor's office, and they are the ones that drafted the fiscal note. Would you care to come forward and help us with the fiscal note? Thank you. Ms. Howell.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaker Tilton, members of the committee, thank you for having me here. For the record, my name is Kelly Howell. Currently serve as Chief of Staff for the Lieutenant Governor, and I'd be happy to go over the fiscal note. The fiscal note is for the first year is $1,150,000, and then about $10,000 less through the out years. The first year would be have additional costs for startup. But just to go through the assumptions that were made when we drafted the fiscal note, and they are assumptions because the bill does give the commission the discretion to hire staff. And so the number of staff and the qualifications of those staff would be ultimately up to the commission. So we are estimating a minimum, so at least 5 staff would be hired by the commission, which would include some administrative support, an accountant, some auditors, and an attorney. In doing some research with the Texas Sunset Advisory Committee, they do have a general counsel on staff, so to provide legal advice to the commission. So we do have an attorney in there. Travel costs, so this would be for the commission to meet, as well as for the staff of the commission to travel to do audits. And travel costs are estimated at about $23,000 a year. Contractual services. This is going to include kind of the setup costs for the commission, as well as things like their office space and leasing costs. But it does also include the consultant, an estimated $200,000 per year for consultants. So, again, that's an estimate. It would ultimately be up to the commission and, of course, the cost, whether they wanted to use consultants in their work or not. And then commodities are just simply supplies. This is where you're going to see the increase in the startup year versus the out years. So that is a high-level overview of the fiscal note, but happy to answer any additional questions.
Representative Tilton, does that answer your question, or do you have a follow-up?
No, it helped. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions about the fiscal note? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Ms. Howell, for a wonderful presentation of our fiscal note.
Representative Carpenter, I do have a comment.
Okay, Representative Tilton, go ahead.
If I might add, I would recommend that the commission be stationed on the road system so that the public was able to attend and be able to participate in the transparency.
That's a great recommendation, Representative Tilton.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, in section one, I understand the wanting to put some teeth in it, that if somebody fails to give directs, orders, threatens, restrains, refuses to cooperate with the committee, that there's a fine of $5,000. And I know I'm guessing we're just adding that to something that already exists, because that's currently what we do if you don't cooperate with the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I'm curious, how often have we fined people? Rephrase it. Do people not cooperate with Legislative Budget Committee, and do we fine them? Because I want to know that there are teeth here and that actually there's an enforcement mechanism if somebody does refuse to cooperate.
Representative Gray, I do not have a historical answer for you. All I can say is that in my experience, limited as it is to a 1 year at this point, as chair of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, to my knowledge, we have never fined anybody for not providing information. And to my knowledge, there has never been a problem in the last year of information not being presented to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee on ask. And that's Legislative Budget and Audit Committee is also for the general public includes the Legislative Finance Division and the Legislative Audit Division. So nothing has raised to my level that says we're having problems getting information.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. Seeing that, and that this is the only order of business, I'm going to set HB 190 aside to hear it at a later date. We will set an amendment deadline for Tuesday, January 30th. And the following meeting next week, we will attempt to have public testimony. Please check the schedule to make sure that that gets properly scheduled. And but that is our intent, is to do public testimony next week. This concludes the business for tonight. Thank you all for your attendance and attention. We will be adjourned as of 6:51 p.m.